This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, brought to you by the Ford Ranger, Australia's number one selling vehicle in 2023.
To dissect everything from Gather Round, Damien Barrett's in the studio.
It's time for Damien Barrett to wrap up the weekend in footy.
Bit of news kicking around purple as we welcome you.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Bill. There is.
With his positives.
We're all positive.
That's it. Straight in.
18 winners in the weekend, Bill.
And negatives.
Sorry to disappoint everyone.
Oh, negative, Gus.
Bad news.
Power up and get 4 for $3 on selected Kumo passenger and SUV tyres at Tyre Power. Your trusted tyre experts. That's Tyre Power.
Oh, Damo, nice to see you. I think before we get to you and start discussing things, let's get down to Robbo and see what's happening at Merrick's.
Oh, it's pissing down.
It's hosing down outside.
Where did that come from?
Where did that come from?
Damo,
have you brought that with you?
It was dry 10 minutes ago when I walked in.
It was dry.
Yeah.
Now, gather round. The word I use is triumph.
Yeah.
It's a triumph, gather round.
It is. And they had a full 12 months to get ready for this one. They had about only 4 months to get ready for the first incarnation of it. And it took a step again, didn't it?
Yep.
And it's just perfect. Mm. And there's not many things in footy that everyone pumps up.
Yep.
Players,
so we say
officials.
Well done to the AFL.
Well, one of the AFL, but well done to Adelaide.
Yes.
And South Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, well done to the clubs too, because they were a bit hesitant, weren't they, as to how it was going to unfold last year, and they embraced it.
Yep.
And yeah, they loved it. I mean, I know there's a few bits of commentary around the benefits that Adelaide clubs get, but I'm not at all worried about that.
You know what the supporters love? Their training sessions where they go to Norwood and watch their club train. But they were right there, right on top of them, and they love that, all the supporters.
Where the ground is in relation to the city, everyone talks about Perth, but much as I love Optus Stadium, it's stuck out in the middle of nowhere.
It's
not on top
there.
Of the city.
Yeah.
Whereas this is literally that walkway, and then you're in the city of Adelaide and the bars and the restaurants. And
the experiences of Norwood, I know you obviously know the venue well and the suburb well, and that's a ripping
brilliant
suburb.
The food
isn't
and
it?
Wine festival on Sunday. No, it's just brilliant.
Who was best on ground, Damo, out of the Triple M family?
I was just asking a few people off air, actually. I didn't hear of anything that's noteworthy enough.
Daisy had a crack, but he had the Dale with him.
Yeah,
the lovely Natasha. Yeah. What about our man
Friday
here,
night
Jim?
Crew had a bit of a nice gathering after the Kane Corns versus Luke Darcy thing on
Chief,
Friday, and we just cleared the air on a few things. Yeah, Chief was there. Chief was
Chief.
Good.
Right.
Yeah, just all very civil and very early, Bill, but it was nice.
It was a mile off being.
And what about our boss, the head honcho, old Lunchbox?
Huey. Yeah. He would have had a nice crack. Now, what are we making out of Carlton Fremantle, please, Purple? The finish, the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, the AFL yesterday, via Andrew Dillon himself, admitted that they got it wrong in terms of allowing the Cottrell mark to be paid. I don't have an issue with that. It was in a flurry of movement and motion.
So I'm in the Bulldogs race. So I'm 55 metres from it. And it was so clearly touched, standing with Joe Watson
and Richo,
clearly.
Yeah,
I'm like, well, it's a touch ball. And then
it did deviate when you see the down the ground.
But I'm looking at
shot.
The four umpires, and I'm like, okay, if one doesn't pick it up, surely one of the other three does.
Yeah.
All he has to do is blow the whistle, go and see the officiating umpire, and say, mate, the ball was touched. It's got to be a ball up.
Okay.
Why didn't that?
So
happen?
For you to say it was obvious from where you were at the ground, well, I'm just going what I saw on TV on the camera angle that I got, and to me, it would have been hard to pay.
Yeah. But so not a review. I agree that we've already cocking enough of them up. But when you've got four officiating umpires on the field, they had to do better,
ball
in my
up.
Opinion, and say, mate, there's a ball up.
Yeah.
The sense just stupidity from old mate Clark. But prior to that, it should not have been paid a mark.
Well, it wouldn't have got to that stage.
Again,
I like the way Justin Longmuir treated it, Bill. He just said, look, the club has to be better than that in those moments. He gets the hostility of the situation, but don't do it. There's no problem. So
they've
cost themselves.
They did. And the other thing is Luke Jackson who's been superb, but deciding to knock it out into space.
I don't know what that was about.
What the hell?
Nah.
Like, you just keep bringing it to your feet.
I don't think you need to
stoppage
know.
After stoppage after stoppage. Instead of that, he smacked it into the most dangerous position on the ground.
Into the hot spot, Jim.
Oh, my
He's
God.
A ruckman, Jim.
Oh, I can't be doing that.
So the descent thing there, Jeremy Finlayson, the Port Adelaide player, made a comment to an Essendon player. We're choosing, well, I am anyway, not to mention the player nor the word, but it's a homophobic nature, Bill, which he has admitted to. That's part of it. The AFL will sanction him. I feel he should be suspended, but I also felt Alistair Clarkson should be suspended. And I also feel I'm in a minority in thinking that. But my take on it is, Bill, we keep walking past these moments. And Clarkson, to me, would have been a perfect one to suspend, to just therefore evermore know you want to go down this path. Mm. That's what happens to you. Now we get to Jeremy Finlayson 5-6 weeks later.
So it's got to be a fine. It'll be a fine. It's got to be 20 grand then.
Yeah. To me, it should be. But I would still suspend him just as much to look. This is what happens if you do it. I get the heat of the moment, Jim. And I'm not cognizant of these situations happening like that, but it's not good enough. And I think we, as an industry, constantly tell people what they should and shouldn't do. We get examples of what they shouldn't do, and we still let them move through the system.
Let me ask you this. I'm not arguing with anything. I think suspension's probably a bit stronger than what I have in my head, but that if it happens, I'm not arguing with it. Would the same issue have occurred if it hadn't been picked up on an umpire, Mike? Because I would suggest that words of a pretty personal nature are said on a football field the whole time.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I'm not even convinced the player in question who was directed out had an issue with it. Again, I don't know whether that means anything anyway, but other players did, and the umpires did as well. So, yeah, I think it's a fair point you raise, because we do pick and choose again to continue to analyse what we do as a game. There's certain issues and certain moments that get focused on at the expense of others under different scenarios.
All right, pick it.
Yeah, Pickett will take his 1-week ban for the hit on Saligo.
He'll take it.
He'll take it. No, take it to the tribunal. Oh, sorry,
we'll finish the sentence here.
Well, you jumped in. You jumped in, Bill.
Finish the sentence.
He'll take it to the tribunal.
And Lockie Fogarty.
He'll take it?
He'll take it to the tribunal as well.
Of course he will, because he plays on, with...
It doesn't matter what happens at that tribunal unless he gets off, because then they'll sue.
Carlton.
And then they'll counter sue, and then they'll take it to another court, and eventually they'll get him off.
You're convinced Carlton's got the best access.
They do it all the time.
He actually didn't hit Fife in the head, hit him in the throat.
Yeah, that's what I thought too on the replays. Yeah.
Again, by the time the lawyers are finished with it, he'll hit him in the boot.
And then you'll get a biomechanist in and bore us all to death for 3 hours of evidence, and the tribunal chair will just go, off.
All right, go on, Evan. I'm bored myself with it.
Yes.
Now, what are we, positives?
Do we have some positives?
Break and then positives.
Because I've got a question.
You've got a question.
Yes.
You've got a question.
Fat's got a question.
Fat, I'm just letting you know now. Put it in the memoirs there.
Do I need
a handset?
Do I need a heads up on
memoirs
your question?
And the handset.
Put it in the
What's
hands?
A handset?
That's the computer bloke at the courts.
Triple M's Rush Hour is award-winning radio.
I can't believe you're going up there to get the Acura Award when I'm putting together this stuff.
I can't either.
And the Ford Ranger was awarded Drive's 2023 Car of the Year. Discover why at your local Ford Ranger dealer.
Damo has stuck around thanks to your trusted tyre experts, Tyre Power.
We've got our Acura nomination actually going in some stage this week.
Cool. Are you both nominated this year? Cool. Or just you?
Well, the show, but Maddie's been hard at work at putting our best of together.
And?
I think it needs to be heard. They're coming up later, but go ahead.
Sure?
Question. Yes, I'm bloody sure.
Am I in it at all?
I think you might be.
Oh, good. What about our man, our leader here?
Yep.
Saturday Rub.
Yep.
When he came in on Saturday morning, how did he look to you?
Well, you and I had reason to ask him what he had done the night before.
Does he look terrible?
His eyes were glazy.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
then, but then we
the
got a story.
Pyrotechnics.
No. Oh, that's right. The fireworks.
I read about the pyrotechnics in the paper today too, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very honest after hours operator. So if I'd had a monster, I'd tell you.
Friday night.
I had to work.
Did you have a drink?
I had two glasses bottle. Of Chardonnay. No, bottle. Two. Of course I did. Right. Fat, you don't get off air till 11:30.
Yeah.
So there's no ability to have a drink.
So you're pretty good.
Yeah, very good.
All right. Then I was listening to Brian call on Saturday, BT, and he had this to say.
Brayshaw in there lurking dangerously. And speaking about lurking and Brayshaw, I saw him wandering the corridors about 3 this morning. I think Lisa was tucked away, but Jim had got out.
He blamed his voice and his eyes on the fireworks and smoke last night.
Unbelievable excuse.
Yeah.
Unbelievable
excuse. So this is the truth now. Yeah. I smelled a rat there.
Wondering, he wasn't even on the right floor. I don't know what that means.
Is he doing the old swipe every room and see if it opens?
He was, Hewitt.
Isn't it a bluey, Jim?
Absolute garbage.
3 a.m. wrong floor.
It's not possible for any of that to be further from the truth.
Well, why would he say it?
Why would I do that, Fat?
No, why would Brian
say it? I'd just start wandering around the hotel.
You've had a couple of Penfolds and you're not
speaking. No, it could not be more incorrect. All speaking of Penfolds,
yes.
Am I right in hearing that you boys went up to McGill Estate, which is one of the great experiences?
Beautiful experience.
1844.
It is superb. Went up there. Fat was offered a glass of Grange, and instead of that, he ordered a beer.
Jim, I can confirm it.
We were
fortunate enough to do the tasting, which included a Grange, and then Renee, who was looking after us, said, "Would you like another drink?" And I said, "Well, I'm not going to say no to that." And then she said, "What would you like? A Grange or a 707?"
Well,
then
you can't miss with.
And then Bill goes, "Could I have a beer, please?"
Fat, what's wrong with you?
Well, I just felt like a beer.
So I get it, send me
a palate of Asahi.
Caviar to pigs.
My palate had enough red wine.
Your palate had enough.
Enough of the oak and the fruits that I could taste and
tannins.
Smell. Yes, exactly. So took it 10 minutes to find a beer. I don't reckon they get asked for too many beers.
She went to the office to get one from the private stack, not the bar stack.
What the hell? Anyway, pound for pound, 707.
I thought it was nearly as good, Jim.
Yeah. In this country.
What was the Chinese one we had? That was good.
Have you tried? Oh, where are we going with this? But there's Chinese grapes grown in China now.
I have not.
It's worth it.
Now, negatives?
Yeah, negatives. Adelaide 0-4, worrying start. And a draw now that includes, wait for this, Jim, in the next 6 weeks, Carlton, Essendon, North, or you'll win that, Port Adelaide, Brisbane,
and North.
Brisbane, then Collingwood. You're not giving them, well, not starting favourite in four of those other five. So, bad start.
Yeah, that's not
terrible start. Not, after
why,
last
why
year.
Do they, we asked this Saturday.
Yeah, we did.
Why do they wait until they're so far behind the game before they start just taking the game on? Because when they do, they look bloody dangerous.
They've done it a couple of times, haven't they? Yep. And they can do it, which is this frustration for them. Essendon, again, we discussed this over the course of the weekend too, but to lose by 69 points as they did, having started well and getting the quarter time with a competitiveness that looked pretty good. But the whole Essendon edge thing, I certainly wanted to see it more than hear about it. And when its first real test was at play, they were just nowhere near there.
You can't talk about it and build it up and then play like that.
Yeah.
I've got too many players that... Just when they're bad, they're really, really bad. Whereas the other side's like, if Geelong are poor, at least they're okay, most players. Yep. They've got too many players that are just poor.
They look a bit one pace to me too. Like, they could do with some sort of drive off half back, so some leg speed.
Yeah.
They just look like they're all covering the ground at about the same speed.
I agree. In the midfield, there's talent in there, but they're similar type players, aren't they?
Yeah. And you're right, there's no explosion. You know, and Paris, they're bloody good players. There's I can't think as I sit here, of one player who's got Holmes.
Yeah,
Max Holmes type leg speed, you know, the real ping.
We may as well start with him as the positive, or as part of the Geelong team as positive, that the numbers that they produced from that game didn't reflect as well as they did against their opponent, the Bulldogs.
No.
But the team element to it is quite extraordinary. And the role that Jeremy Cameron is playing this year, getting right up the ground and getting to a stage of his career where he's just as selfless, I think, as there is. For someone who's used to, hey, give the ball to me, I'm an All-Australian forward, now he's just happy to... off, isn't he?
And you're right. He's playing halfback in the midfield, kicking goals, kick 2-4, which is unlike him. But Grian Myers, another one, Damo.
Yeah.
The work rate, everyone says, how does he get the ball so often? He's the best runner at the club, and his work rate is sensational.
If you do get access to the down-the-ground vision, you're right about that, Bill. It's not as if he's just bobbing up in lucky spots. He's worked to get there so many times. And I'm loving what Tanner Bruin's doing. Yeah. I had my doubts when they got him across from GWS, and here he is in his second year. And he's not getting a lot of it, but when he does get it, it's creative, isn't it?
It's good.
And Jack Henry.
Yeah.
Henry.
I love both the Henrys and Ollie kicking 41 goals last year in a team that won only 10 games in his first year for that club. I reckon we've got an All-Australian talent
and
there
when it comes. He was gone. Yeah. He was nearly gone last year.
Just on the positives.
Tom Brown. We've got to give him. Tom Brown from Richmond. Bulbhead's son. Very good yesterday.
Good, right up.
Yeah, very good. Just on that Geelong game, Tom Liberatore probably played one of the very best he's ever played. And they lost. And that was the danger or the problem with it. 35 possessions, 28 of those contested. Yep. You had great performances.
23 clearances or something. Yeah, something ridiculous. Like
that. Bontempelli was nearly as best as he's ever been as well. And Adam Traore. So you had the great output from their three best midfielders, and they still couldn't get the job done, which is a problem for them. Just talk about before, Jim, about the Essendon midfield. Look, we just touched there on a couple of Geelong midfielders, but Petrarca, again, it goes back to Thursday now, but his game for Melbourne against Adelaide to set their season right up. I mean, they won previously against Port Adelaide. They've now won four in a row, but he's had better games than that. But in terms of influence and control on a game of footy, it was right up there, wasn't it?
No, he's a jet. He's a top two or three player in the comp. I don't tell Fat anything. I don't waste my time. But I did tell you about Judd McVie a long time ago.
Yeah.
He is a star, this kid.
That's extraordinary.
He is going to get better and better and better.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to leave him back there a bit like Sheasel at North, or whether they'll actually end up putting him through the middle. But he is so clean. He never fumbles, never goes to ground. Beautiful user.
Wouldn't be tinkering right now. It's just working beautifully, isn't it, at the moment? Again, just the point of difference in the midfield. Connor Rosie has always been that. Once he established himself 3 seasons ago, captaincy now, Bill. Mm. He's still a young 24. I think it's a January birthday, so it's a young 24 at this stage. And 36 possessions, the 3 goals.
Kicking
though,
goals.
And setting up early. I mean, he helped set that game up in the first quarter. Heaney, Jim, I think we mentioned him every single Monday.
He would be leading. How many votes, Jim?
Oh, he'd have to have 13, I reckon he'd have.
Well, he might have even polled. Again, you never know until Brownlow, not as we know, but he may still have polled or done enough to have polled in the game they lost to Richmond the previous week. And what he did against West Coast, again, I think he's had better games this year, but I think he probably was best on ground again.
The number one draft pick showed us a bit.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah, I'm glad for him because I think he set a record for breaking tackles, which just takes some doing for an 18-year-old teenager.
When he develops a tank, which he has to, my goodness.
It's going to happen.
It will be scary.
Yeah. I thought Tom Green was really great yesterday with the 5 goals he kicked. Now, people may say, well, they only beat GWS Gold Coast, but they were under the pressure there for a while.
They were.
I see the initial votes come through for the Coach Association, and he lost 3 votes in the initial release of those votes. Toby Green.
Toby.
They gave him to Tom Green, the coaches. So they've now rectified that, Jim. I do worry about the coaches' votes. I wonder how many times.
Who puts them in? The coaches put them in?
I wonder how many minutes they put into it. It might even be second sometime. And I go back to last year where Corey Wagner got some votes when Corey Wagner had not played a game of football to that point of his career when it was meant to be Chad. So I do worry about those coaches' votes sometimes, Jim. There's my editorial for the day.
I like it, purple.
Shay Bolton, though, just before we go.
Very good.
It's hard to have a conversation about positives without referencing his 4 goals yesterday. In a loss, it must be said, but probably and arguably the standout performer of the individual side of things
now,
for the week.
I would keep it in the car, in the sports car on your way home, Purple. I'd keep it on because Fat's about to do topics brownless, and I've got real concerns.
What's in the topics?
Look at him.
What is it? What are we doing?
Well, topics brownless coming up next. Thank you, Damo. You can hear Damo as part of the Midweek Rub on Wednesday as well. This is the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, brought to you by the Ford Ranger, Australia's number one selling vehicle in 2023.